This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that, your comfort place where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast. My name is James O'Hara. I'm a nurse practitioner. And today we're going to be reviewing some functional medicine blood work that I had done. So you may have heard us talk about functional medicine or dysfunctional medicine on the podcast in the past. Specifically, what I'll be reviewing today is white blood cell micronutrient testing. So instead of starting off talking about the boring things and how the test works and what the claims are and what the evidence is, we're going to jump straight to the results, which I think are pretty telling. And then we'll talk about how the test works, what the claims are, what the evidence is, and so forth. So to start us off, we can pull up slide number one. This is the LabCorp vitamin A level, and you can see my vitamin A is flagged as being high on LabCorp. So if we go to slide number two, you'll see the very first micronutrient test there is also vitamin A. And you see the serum level is on the high end of the range, but the white blood cell, that's what that WBC stands for, is on the very low end of the range. So does this mean I should take more vitamin A to increase my intracellular level? Probably not. Seems like a pretty good way to get a toxicity. So that's the first result. Taking a step back to how I actually accomplished this, I drove to LabCorp one morning and then drove across town 10 minutes to another blood draw site to have this functional medicine testing done. So these tests were drawn less than an hour apart. So my vitamin A status did not change on that drive. And that's why I think that this is really telling of what the value or lack of value is for the white blood cell testing. So if you look down at the bottom, the other number I have underlined is the vitamin B12. The serum level is quite consistent with what my LabCorp number was. I think my LabCorp was around 1,200 also. You see that here, serum B12 is around 1,200. But the white blood cell level is 2.82 with a reference range of 2 all the way up to 12. So even though I'm in the quite highest percentile in terms of my vitamin A and my B12, it's telling me my intracellular levels are in the Now, really, this is like a single-digit percentile, below the 10th percentile for what should be a, normal or optimal range of white blood cell nutrients. So now we can pull up the chart of the comparison. I picked five things that they tested white blood cell levels of, two of which are fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin A and vitamin E, one of which is a water-soluble vitamin, vitamin B12 that we already talked about. And then I also checked red blood cell zinc and copper. And there is some evidence that suggests red blood cell nutrient testing has some merit and perhaps might be more accurate than serum testing. Perhaps the biggest evidence of this is in omega-3 fatty acids. It's not been proven for each and every single nutrient yet. But I think that a red blood cell zinc, red blood cell copper should be fairly representative of my status to compare to this functional white blood cell counterpart. So if you just look across here, you can see vitamin A was above the 100th percentile, the reference range, and it was exceedingly low on the functional medicine testing. Vitamin B12, same story. Vitamin E, same story. Interestingly, the functional panel didn't differentiate between alpha and gamma tocopherols for the vitamin E. So LabCorp does give you both gamma and alpha. Alpha is what you'll find in most multivitamins. Zinc, you know, very top of the range again on LabCorp. And quite low, looks like about the 15th to 20th percentile for the zinc on the functional medicine blood work. And then my copper, this was a bit low, the 20th percentile roughly for LabCorp. And it was basically at the first percentile. Like there should be a tiny, tiny little green line there, but you can't even see it because it was the very bottom of that reference range on the functional medicine blood work. So serum copper is something that I have heard talked about associated with the more lean body mass somebody has, lower their serum copper. I haven't seen that discussion with red blood cell copper, but that pattern may hold true. I am not worried about my normal copper level, even though it's in the 20th percentile, if there's evidence that comes out and convinces me that this is something I need to be worried about, then maybe I'll consider supplementing with some additional copper. So that's the overview. I think the graph is pretty telling. Doesn't seem to have a lot of validity for assessing a baseline nutrient level, at least compared to these very well evidence-based measures we currently have. And for the B vitamin enthusiasts out there, my homocysteine level was 6.4, I believe, on this set of labs. And my methylmalonic acid was, I believe, around 100, maybe 120, so quite low. So those that say, well, normal serum B12 doesn't mean your B12 status is good. I have some other data points that I would use as confluence to point to, hey, these B12 levels are representative of what's actually going on in my body. So now we'll go to the next slide. We have the claim or claims. So these are the benefits. This is the test manufacturer, the lab that processes it, saying this is what this test can accomplish for you. So identifying functional deficiencies in intracellular micronutrient levels, so absorption deficiency. And I suppose that's what is allegedly being pointed out if I have great levels on traditional labs, but not so great levels on the functional lab. I suppose they would try to sell me some extra supplements to fix that. Identifying essential micronutrient absorption deficiencies, which cause or increase the risk of chronic diseases. Basically the same thing the first thing said. And then point number three was really interesting to me. Providing a long-term nutritional status of the previous 4 to 6 months. So white blood cell testing is not the only thing that's performed in this functional panel, but it is the sort of novel or unique one. If you saw the serum B12, seems to be pretty accurate, seems to be a pretty good test. But they do check 26 white blood cell markers and only 3 red blood cell markers. And then they do like an omega-3 red blood cell index as another one of the tests. So for white blood cells, I thought to myself, that doesn't seem right. Do white blood cells really circulate 4 to 6 months? And we go to the next slide and see that they actually live about 5 days, so less than a week. So I'm skeptical that this is a claim of, hey, this is pointing to your long-term nutritional status. Even red blood cells generally don't live 4 to 6 months. Generally, you're looking at about a 3-month circulating lifespan. Some people a little bit shorter, some people a little bit longer. And that brings us to the evidence. So basically, there are, I think, 4 papers out there looking at this test or similar tests, looking at white blood cell levels, certain vitamins or nutrients. And the evidence we have is that some markers are associated with higher or lower levels of HDL, LDL, and triglycerides. So we don't know if that's causal. We don't know what happens if you manipulate those markers one way or the other. some markers are associated with higher or lower thyroid markers, so TSH, free T4, free T3, thyroid autoantibodies. Again, is that because these levels are lower in the white blood cells or because there's this abnormal immune response going on in autoimmune thyroid disease that changes the composition of the white blood cells? No clue. And then one study, about 40 individuals found that type 2 diabetics had lower white blood cell vitamin C levels despite about identical serum levels of vitamin C. So does that mean that supplementing vitamin C cures diabetes? Don't think so. But if somebody improves or reverses, I say that with a sort of parentheses around or quotations around it or an asterisk, reverses their diabetes because that's a debated area. But if someone normalizes their A1C, I would expect that to improve white blood cell vitamin C levels because the problem is not a lack of vitamin C. The problem is excess exposure to serum glucose, inflammation, and all these things that type 2 diabetes is going to have. So fairly weak evidence. I don't think we can put a causal link to any of this. We don't have any before and afters. We don't have any outcomes. So it's really sort of tricky to make the claim that this is a valuable test to gain any additional nutritional insights. So then what are the downsides? The potential harms, financial. This is something that financially harmed me. I don't think that it is worth spending your money on. It could potentially not detect true deficiencies. So for example, let's say I was deficient in vitamin A. I don't know if the white blood cell test is going to also show a deficiency in vitamin A. It may show that that vitamin A is normal within the white blood cell. It may lead to vitamin toxicities, and I sort of alluded to this earlier. If I were to take these white blood cell results in isolation and not look at the serum and just start supplementing vitamin A, that's going to be an oversupplementation that could cause a toxicity. Same thing with zinc. You could oversupplement zinc, cause a copper deficiency. So it's not something that is totally benign, but again, this is something that would be on the management side. The physician or nurse practitioner or PA or dietitian who's getting this blood work for patients is ultimately responsible with, hey, what do you do with the results? What did I do with my results? Nothing. And then the final point would be mistrust in the medical system. When you have people making claims that are not evidence-based, claiming to have a sort of secret or a cure or an edge or something that the rest of the medical community just doesn't know about, then that can sort of foster this siloed system where you have functional medicine on one side, traditional medicine on the other. And we don't want that. We want there to be a bridge between those two. So you take the good parts of functional medicine, like actually looking for a root cause to a problem, and the good parts of traditional medicine, like the vast amounts of evidence that are there, knowledge of pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics and all these things that have been built up over the years, and sort of bridge the two and take the best parts of each. So if you've gotten white blood cell testing, I'd be interested to know what your interpretation or your provider's interpretation of those results were. If you found anything useful in that, please let us know. If you didn't find anything useful in this video or in your report, also please let us know. But I'll let the commenters tell me, did I get scammed? I'll say that I don't think I got scammed because I think this is actually measuring white blood cell nutrients. So, you know, I paid the money. This is what the test showed. So is it an accurate measurement? Probably so. Is it valuable clinically? Probably not. As always, thank you for your time. Thank you for watching. May God bless you with health and happiness.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.